In the movie Gladiator, Maximus, the main character, said this phrase that I love. He said, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." That's my favorite, one of my favorite movies, and that's one of my favorite quotes. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, Paul kind of talks about the same thing. He talks about what we do in Christ impacts eternity. And I like to say what we do at New Life impacts eternity. Not just what I do at New Life, not just what few leaders here do at New Life or volunteers, what we. Turn to your neighbor and says, "That's we." I don't know if it's right grammar, but it's we. It's us, what we do. Listen to what Bible says. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking. What are we seeking? Glory, honor, and immortality that God offers. That's what we seek. We don't seek glory here on earth. We seek it in eternity. We don't seek honor here on earth. We seek it in eternity. And we don't seek immortality here on earth. We seek it in eternity. So if you could translate this verse through the movie Gladiator, we could say what we do at New Life echoes in eternity. Amen. It's a vision Sunday, so let's talk about vision. Why do we need vision? Because Jesus, being Son of God, began His ministry on earth with a vision. Before He began His earthly ministry, He stated a vision. Watch this. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He goes to the temple, He opens a scroll in Isaiah, and He reads this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." 19. "And that the time of the Lord's favor could be translated as grace. It's the time of the Lord's favor has come." Okay, let's stop there and think about it. What was Jesus trying to do in His first message that He ever preached? He declared a vision for His ministry on this earth. Later on, this is more not a vision, more of a mission. Why did I come here? Jesus had a mission. And later He gives us a vision. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And then He gave us a vision. He said this, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against that." That's vision. Jesus didn't do ministry without first declaring a vision. I want to tell you that our church shouldn't do ministry unless we know what our vision is. He said, "My vision to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim captives will be released, blind will see, oppressed will be set free. God's grace has come." That's the vision. And Holy Spirit showed me this in the scripture. He said, "Tell my people the vision." Why are we doing what we're doing? If the Son of God needed a vision, we need a vision. Many of us, especially Christians, we get so super spiritual that we start acting like we don't need a vision. We're going to be led by the Spirit. Hold on, but Jesus needed a vision, and He was led by the Spirit. See, sometimes we Christians, we want God to suspend the laws that He placed in the first place in the universe because we're big shots now, because we're Christians. But Jesus shows us that you can walk by the Spirit and you still need vision. Sometimes we Christians could say vision is something sinful because it's a corporate thing. They do vision in the corporations. They do mission statements at Coca-Cola, at McDonald's. We, the church, we don't need it. Jesus needed a vision. Our church needs a vision. Your business needs a vision. Your life needs a vision. Where are you going? I remember being 14, 15, 16 years old. I wanted to build a house. So I would go to Menards and open the book where they had plans of houses, and I would look at them. Probably my mom never stops working. She's that type, busy, you know, always busy. Okay, now she just painted her house, now she wants to repaint it because, you know, she's got to stay busy. But they would go to Menards a lot, and I would go there, and that would be my favorite section, and I would look, oh, that's the house I built, and I would draw plans. When I became 20 years old, I built my first house. Amen. Myself. Amen. And so, vision, what we see is what we will have in the future. In the future. Amen. Religious people often act like they're more spiritual than Jesus. We don't need the vision. And Jesus says, no, I need the vision and you need the vision. Did you know that everything begins with a vision? If you look at people in history, they had a vision. If you look at famous people in history, they all had a vision. They knew where they were going. What is a vision? How do you define it? Vision is planting a big picture of the future that produces passion in people. Vision is seeing the potholes in the road so you can drive around them while others lose their wheels going through them. Vision is going to the mountaintop and seeing something. I love Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, I've been on the mountaintops. I've seen it. I've seen the change. I've seen it. He saw something before everybody else, before the nation and the world have seen it. God often would take people to the mountaintop to give them a vision. To give them a vision. Before a house can be built, you need a vision. Before a plane could be built, you need a vision. Watch this. When God plans to do something in this world, He gives a person a vision. He gave Noah a vision of the ark. How else would he know what to build? He gave Moses the vision of a tabernacle. And the more you study the tabernacle, you see how much symbology there is in that vision. When God wanted to do something in the life of Abraham, He took him out at night and showed him the stars in heaven and says, count them. And Abraham said, I can. He said, so are your descendants are going to be. You won't be able to count them. He said, look at the sand on the shore of the beach. He said, that's your descendants going to be. You won't be able to count it. God uses a principle, a spiritual principle called vision. And watch this. The world, the secular world, they recognize it. And they take it and they use it and they achieve great things. But sometimes we in a church, because we're so spiritual, we kind of like, God is going to do it. I don't need to think about it. So we become slothful and lazy about our life and about our future. And that's not what God wants for us. God says without vision, people perish. And so a lot of us, God has tons of purposes and plans for our life, but we will die the way we are. Because we're bored. Why are we bored? Because we have no vision telling us and driving us and making us passionate about where we're going. Amen. Before God showed Joseph, before God used Joseph, He gave him a vision, a dream of what he's going to be. Before God sent Apostle Paul to do ministry on a fourth day, He gives him a vision. He says, I'm going to send you to Gentiles before the kings, and you will suffer much for me. Some vision is suffering. Whew, don't want that. But you got to take good and everything else. All of us want good things from God. But a lot of times the vision includes suffering. Okay? But let me not talk about suffering. I don't want to lose you. When Tanya and I were in our 20s, I was like 24, she was 20. God gave us a vision. We wanted to see people who are far from God, broken, broke, depressed, people who are hurting, and they don't know what to do. They're like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus said. We wanted to see people come to God. Because we believe that God made our life so good. And we're like, why wouldn't we want to share it with other people? Because we really do believe that God can make our life better here on earth. Plus, He gives us eternity. Tell me you don't like being a Christian. I love being a Christian. Who do you go to when IRS come knocking on your door? Jesus. Who do you go to when the bill's coming in? Jesus. Who do you go when you're sick and the doctors have no hope for you? Jesus. Who do you go to when you feel low and depressed and you don't see the future? God and Jesus. Amen. And so in our 20s, God gave us a vision. We wanted to see thousands of people who are far from God get to know Jesus, because we believed that when they get to know Jesus, He will change their life, transform their life. I believe a life without Jesus is like a book that's pages has ripped out and all mess and all flying in the wind. But when we come to Jesus, I believe He takes pages and He puts them in order. Page 1, page 2, 10, 30, 50. He has a purpose. He has a picture. He has a vision for your life. And that's why we and that's why we wanted to start the church. Actually, we were pushed to start the church because we wanted to see people far from God get to know God, because He can make their life like He made our life better. Listen to me. God can make your life just like He did our life better. Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. And a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You can only have two masters. Either it's Jesus or the thief. I choose Jesus. Come on, somebody. Who do you choose? Jesus. Amen. Bible says, without vision, people perish. Now, you all have a vision for your life. You want a house, you want a car, you want so many kids, you know, you want a job, you want to be happy, you want to feel fulfilled. And the truth is, sometimes your job is not enough to fulfill you. How many of you know that? Actually, for most of us, if you're still young, you're thinking you're going to find this perfect job and you're always going to be happy. False. You're not always going to be happy with your job. Eventually, in your 30s, you realize something. In 20s, everything is new. New girlfriend, new boyfriend, new house, new relationship, new marriage. In 30s, things settle down. Come on, people in 30s, tell me. Things settle down, become slow, you become bored. And your job, as good as it is, will not satisfy. You need something bigger, something that makes bigger impact. Okay, I was running a small business and it was satisfying, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I needed something bigger than the business, bigger than myself, bigger than my desires. I needed to make an impact for eternity. And so, you know how to have a happier life? Here's a quick, like a bonus clue. Don't rely on your job to make you happy. You need something bigger than your job. And so that's why I'm going to ask you to join the greatest vision in the world. Now, there's a lot of great visions in the world, missions in the world, like to eradicate poverty. That's a great one. But we've been trying that for years, and we have more poverty now than in the 50s. Okay? So that's a great, but don't get me wrong. That's a great mission. Like, for example, those people who are doctors and scientists, they try to destroy cancer. They try to find drugs or whatever to help us beat cancer. That's a great mission. Helping starving kids in Africa, that's a great mission. We should be a part of it if we can. Amen. Saving puppies. We were in Florida, and that's all they play in commercial is saving puppies. I'm like, do they think they have so many old people here that, you know, that they're just going to give money? I mean, they play these in the eyes of the angel far away. I mean, makes me want to give money. I'm like, hold on, I already give to the greatest mission on earth. And I love dogs. I love cats. I'm for animals, being kind to animals. And that's a great mission. But there's no greater mission or vision on earth than bringing people who are far from God into a relationship with Jesus. Watch this, because everything else will die here on earth. The puppies will die. You will die. Your boat will rot and be buried. Okay, your house will rot and someday they'll sell it for a dollar. Okay, but the lives that we change, the people who will spend eternity, who otherwise would spend eternity away from God in a bad place, will spend eternity in a great place with Jesus where purpose never ends. You think you'll be sitting in a cloud and singing with a harp? I don't think so. I think there's so much more. I think that harp is an electric guitar, with a cool sounds if you wanted that, if you're a musician. But I believe our purpose does not end. I don't think God's plans for our lives end when we die. I think they continue. So I'm looking forward to accomplishing greater things in eternity with a great purpose. Amen. So I want to ask you to join the greatest mission, the greatest vision on earth, bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. I'm excited. That's what wakes me up. That's when I get down, I remember, what is my purpose here on earth? When I get a little depressed, what is my purpose here on earth? It's to change life, is to bring people to God so they can spend eternity with God. That will last forever. Yeah. Amen. And this is what Jesus says. Don't store up your treasures on earth. Store them in heaven. They will last forever there. And you know the greatest thing that Jesus wants is people. That's why he came to die. That's why God sent his son, punished his son on the cross so we could spend eternity with him. That's why we're here, church. At Applebee's, they cook good food. Well, decent, right? That's what they do. If you join Applebee's, you gotta do good food. At Toyota, they build great trucks and cars. At Ford, they build amazing trucks. Praise the Lord. At Ford, they build amazing trucks. At New Life, we bring people closer to Jesus. Amen. Now, five things I want you to know about our vision. Number one, who are we? Who are we? We are a church where the hurting, the broke, the broken and confused, depressed, whatever you name, addicted, can find love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. We have to put this on our walls in the church so people know this because they won't remember it from the first time. We are a church where hurting, broke, broken, confused, addicted, can find love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. We are a place where people can find healing and restoration and purpose. That's the kind of place we want to be. Amen? We are the diverse church with people from every nation, every color. If you're a human being, you belong here. We're not a church of white people. We are a church of white people. We're not a church with black people. We are a church of black people. We're not a church with Native Americans. We are a church of Native Americans. We're not a church of Spanish Latinos. We are a Latino church. Whichever you are, we are. You're not a guest here. We don't tolerate you here. You belong here. You're a family. God's family. If you want to know what heaven is going to look like, it's going to be very diverse. We don't want to be all the same. We want to be all different yet united. Unity in diversity. You don't have to be like me, and I don't have to be like you. I want you to be you, and I want me to be me, and let's have fun. Amen. Amen. So we want to be a church, international type of a church, where everybody, just like our community is getting very diverse, we better be the church that is very, very diverse. And I know you guys, I'm speaking to the choir right now because you come to listen to a preacher with an accent. So, you're there. You're good. Praise God. Amen. So, number two, where are we going? Right? If I was to ask you, join me on a trip, you would say, where are we going? I love road trips. My wife hates them, but I love them. We are a church that seeks to bring thousands of people closer to Jesus. We want to see every person who is far from God in the Sioux Empire area and across, even people who are watching us online. We want everyone in the Sioux Empire area and online to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. We want, I know other churches are reaching people, but we're not responsible for what they do. So there's what, 200 some thousand people in this area in 20 mile radius. We want to reach every one of them. We want them to hear the gospel from us because we're not responsible if they can hear it from somebody else. So our job is to make sure through media, through word of mouth, especially through advertising, for every person in this community to hear and understand the gospel. A lot of people have heard, they don't understand. That's the problem. We want them to hear and understand the gospel from us. I know we won't reach everybody, but we want to try to. There's going to be other churches. There's great churches in this town who are reaching people, but we want to try to reach as many people as we can. I see a church where members invite their friends and people are getting saved every Sunday, where we have hundreds of baptisms, where we have people going through classes and getting to know God. We want to see people who are getting breakthroughs. Their marriages are being restored or being strengthened. Their bodies are being healed. Their minds are being healed. That's the kind of church that I see. Amen. I imagine a church that welcomes 1,500 plus people into our big New Life Church family. We're not going to be a church this size all the time. I see a church that can't fit in two services anymore. That's why we're expanding. I see a church that takes 3, 4, 5 services on a Sunday or on a weekend to fit all the people. We can't fit 1,000 people in 2 services. Even 5, that's kind of hard. Amen? So I see a church that has multiple services. I see a church with big faith because we have a big God. I see a church that believes big things, not just this is enough. No, we have a big God who has big plans, and that's the kind of church I see. A church that takes calculated risks. I see a church where we learn, where we laugh, where we live in harmony together. All cultures in Jesus' name. I see a church that cannot, let me say that again, fit into 2 services. I see a church that soon, I don't know if soon, God soon, not our soon, starts planting other churches and sending a group of people from this church to another location to start another service. That's what I see. And I see multiple locations, one church in multiple locations. That has been a vision from the beginning, right, Pastor Tanya? That has been a vision from the beginning. I see a church where the members are passionate about the vision. They're passionate about mission. They're passionate about not just here locally, but also globally. I want to see a church that goes on short-term missions trips. I want to see more people get out of South Dakota in the winter especially and go south somewhere to preach the gospel. Honduras, Guatemala, there's so many places out there. There's Africa. We got locations. We got connections with people. Now in Cuba, we're getting connected. So I want to see you go. You know, a lot of people in South Dakota, you ask them, where have you been in the country? And for most of them, it's like South Dakota. Oh, and Minnesota too. Oh, I've been to the zoo in Omaha, but that's pretty much it. Oh, and casino in Iowa. Most people been in a casino in Iowa. But that's it. But this world is bigger. And Bible, Jesus said this, go into all the world. That means all the world. So start expanding in your mind. I don't mean this year, but start putting that in your mind. God is calling me to go into all the world. I'm not just supposed to be stuck. This, you know how a lot of people have this dream of traveling? But traveling without purpose is boring. It gets boring after about 7 to 10 days. It's like, what are we doing here? My daughter on vacation, after 6 days, she's like, I want to go home. This is boring. I'm like, what? Spending money on you and you bored? A vacation without a purpose gets boring after a certain amount of time. Help me out, church. But God wants to send you traveling with a purpose. That's fun. Pastor Andre, Eli, when we went to Honduras, we were cutting trees on a mountain. Man, those stories will be, we'll tell those stories forever. Building bathrooms on the mountains where people didn't have bathrooms. And those stories will, we'll tell those stories forever. You guys acting like fools in the van. Those stories we won't tell. Number three. So who we are, where are we going? And number three is, why are we doing this? Why? What's in it for me? And here's my simple explanation. And if you are not really sold out on Jesus yet here today, I hope you hear my heart for this. Because if you believe the Bible, like I do, and what Jesus said, like I do and we do, Jesus talked about heaven and hell. And he talked about hell being weeping and gnashing of teeth. He talked about fire that won't burn out. And he talked about worms that keep on tearing flesh apart. He talked about a rich man who asked for a drop of water to be put on his lips. Hell is a prison. Like we, in our society, we have prisons. People who break laws, we put them there. Well, God has a prison. It's called hell. And it's really bad. It's not like American prison, where you get TV, an orange, bologna sandwich. That's what I got when I was there for one day. Because why do we care? Why are we doing this? Why should you sacrifice your time? Why should you sacrifice your money? When you could be watching football, when you could be doing something else, because we believe that there is a place called hell. And naturally, if you are not born again, people will go to that place. And that's why Jesus has come, so he can seek and save those who are lost. The Bible calls them lost. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he was tortured. So we don't have to go to that place. But why can God just send everybody to heaven? Because if you don't want God here on earth, he won't force you into heaven. If you don't want him now, he's not going to force you now, and he's not going to force you then. Listen to me. God will not force you now to serve him, and he will not force you then to be in heaven if you don't want him. Because the best place about heaven is God. And if you don't want God, and then everything else is nothing. So why are we doing this? Why do I yell here and preach this word, study, and ask you to invite people to give, to volunteer? We cannot be indifferent towards our unbelieving neighbors who might spend eternity in a place like hell. And if they don't know Jesus, according to the Bible, and I believe it, that's where they're going. So that's why we're doing it. Because we believe this. Some of you are like, I believe some of it. It's all or nothing. Why are we doing it? Because if I had cure for cancer and you had cancer and I didn't give it to you, I would be the most uncompassionate, evil person there is. Saved people save people. You have an answer for their eternity, for your neighbor's eternity. And if, I hope this wakes our church up. I hope it brings it home that why we do what we do, why you should invite your neighbors. Because we have an answer. We have an antidote for hell. And some of us are keeping it to ourselves. We're saved. But Bible says this, the greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. So you want to be saved. You are in church. You're giving, serving, blah, blah, blah. You are in a safe place. You're going to heaven. Loving your neighbor means I'm going to do everything possible for my neighbor to be where I am at. That's what it means. That's what it means. Listen, saved people save people. Listen, I think you're too bored. And in conclusion, you're depressed. And in conclusion, you try to fill that void with substances that in conclusion destroy you. Why not join a purpose that gives you energy? Every day you wake up, you have a purpose that gives you energy. That's the purpose of Jesus. New Life Church, I like to say this, is not a cruise ship. We are a rescue ship. Now, there's a difference between rescue ship and a cruise ship. For example, there was a cruise ship with 2,000 people, and they crashed, like in Italy a couple of years ago, and all the people were going to drown. Everybody was in the ocean fighting for their life, like Titanic. You watch Titanic? Yeah, I'm sure you do. And all these people are dying, and so a rescue ship comes in, and they rescue people. And they put them on board, they give them a hot meal, they get them dry, they give them a little bit of rest, and then you know what they do? And I like us to be that, hey, come and help us rescue others. Because saved people, save people. A lot of church people do this, watch this, we got rescued, we got saved, we got first, we were the first one to get saved. Now we want the same accommodations that we had on a cruise ship. Serve me, feed me, entertain me. Hold on. But there's, your children are still in the water. Your friends are still in the water. Your wife, your spouse is still in the water. Your neighbor, your college mate is still in the water. What do you mean, serve me? See, that's what churches become sometimes. We become inward focused. I got saved. Screw everybody else. Right? No. I got saved. I got fed a little bit. That's what happens on Sunday. You get fed with the word. You get warmed a little bit. This is a safe place where you get loved. It makes you feel warm. Okay? You got new clothes. Bible says he gives us robes of righteousness and takes our dirty, wet, whatever. And now he says, go into all the world and rescue people. Because saved people save people. So if you're looking for a church that's going to cater all to you so you feel comfortable and nobody ever is going to offend you, probably not the church. Because as I'm trying to rescue somebody, I might say, hey, move. I got to help this guy. Oh, I can't believe he said that. And I thought he was a Christian. Oh my goodness, I'm going to find a new church. Hold on, wait. Yes, we try to be sensitive, but some of our personalities are insensitive. I'm glad you got such a good personality. I have to work on mine. I have to fast to keep it under submission. Amen. So why are we doing this? Because saved people save people. How do you know you're saved? Because now you have a heart for others. If you've been healed from cancer, you want to help other people to be healed. Amen. Usually the best people, listen to me, the best people to help others with cancer are those who've been through cancer. The best people to tell other people about Jesus are those who've been broken the most, those who've been hurt the most, those who've been drowning the most. Some of you think pastor is the best person to tell people about Jesus. No. They look at me like on some pedestal. But you, they know you. And they've seen your life before. And now they see your life. Amen? Amen. Why are we doing this? Because every other cause on earth stays on earth. But what we do for God in this life echoes for eternity. Now, how are we going to do this? Number one, our number one assignment here at New Life Church is to bring people to Jesus, meaning those who still don't believe or like far from God. Maybe they believe in God, but they don't have a family. They're orphans. We want to give them our job is to, you know, give them a family. In America, we don't have a lot of orphans, but in other countries, it's a big problem. So we don't understand this orphanage thing. But if you saw a kid living on the street, would you want to bring him to the family? A Christian without a church is like an orphan. Doesn't have a family. Doesn't have nobody to love him, take care of him, pray for him, hug him when he needs a hug, right? But so we want to bring people far from God, closer to Jesus. But that's just half of our vision. In my pocket, I have a cool, I think it's silver. I got it as a gift for Christmas for my brother. But it's a coin and it has two sides. One side has an angel on it, and the other side some kind of a whatever, sword. But this coin has two sides, and our mission, our vision has two sides. First step, before anything else we do, tip of the spear, the foundation of our ministry, is to bring people who are far from God, meaning those who still don't believe, into a relationship with God. That's number one. And number two, the second part of the coin, is to make them disciples of Jesus. Make them the students of Jesus. Okay? Watch this. I take a plant that's growing in toxic soil. I uproot it and I celebrate. Look, I uprooted the plant. But if I don't plant it in a different soil, give it water and nutrients and sun, the plant will die. So here it is. Our mission is not complete when people raise their hands on Sunday. That's half of it. That's like us uprooting a plant out of the toxic soil. The second part of our vision is to plant them. And Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Meaning they need to be planted. They need a family. Come on, somebody. People need a family. So how are we going to do that? Number one, we're going to invite people and get them saved. Number two, this is very important. We want to invite them into life groups. We want to invite them into grow classes. That's the one Ruth teaches. We want to invite them into VAP class so they can become a part of the family. Our mission is not complete when a hand is raised. Can I just say that again? I know we had over 600 people raise their hand in 2016. Our mission is not complete. It's not. It's just half of this coin. If this coin does not have the other half of it, no bank will take it. No store will take it. It has to have two coins. Same with our mission. Are you guys excited about it, or you're just... So we're going to introduce them to Jesus, number one. We're going to plant them in a house, number two. How we're going to do it? Through life groups. At New Life, we strongly believe that everyone, not just those with time on their hands, need to have significant relationships to become healthy and mature. Everyone, not just those with time on their hands, need to have significant relationships to become spiritually healthy and mature. So life groups, they're coming in February. We want you to be a part of it. There's your opportunity to help disciple the new believers so they can become a part of the family. Amen. And number three, obviously we're going to do Sunday teachings. We're going to do Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to do grow classes. And we're going to do, this is new. I want to tell you about Bible school that we're starting in the spring. So if you are ready to go deeper, you're like, well, grow classes are not for me. I know that stuff. Well, there's more. We're going to be starting, you're going to hear about it in about April, right after Easter. That's where we're going to start this school of ministry. Amen. So you can go deeper and deeper with God. Now, here's my last point. What can you do? And here's four things. Pray. Got to pray. Got to pray for this church. You got to pray for the people God wants you to bring to Jesus. Amen. You got to pray for the leaders. You got to pray for the people in membership here. Pray. That's number one. This year, I want you to commit to prayer. I believe God is going to give us a huge breakthrough this year. I really do. We're not going to be the same church next year, just like we're not the same church we used to be a year before. I believe God told me that this is going to be a year of fruitfulness. We're going to see a lot of fruitfulness at New Life. That's a lot of people, a lot of people joining, coming and becoming a part of the family and produce fruit. So pray. Number two is invite. That's why we're here. Applebee's are there to cook food for you. That's their job. They're not there to build cars. New Life Church is so we can bring people. In your bulletin right now, you have a card. Give it to somebody. If you're too embarrassed, put it in their car window. Invite somebody. Because saved people, save people. Now, if you can tell them the message of the gospel, do it. If not, bring him here. We'll tell him here. Number three, what can you do? You can be generous. And this church has been amazingly generous. I'm so proud of you guys, how generous you have become. Like in the last quarter of 2016, I have never seen such generosity. And I believe God is going to continue it in our lives. So be generous with your finances. And number four, serve. Jesus says, you want to be great? Become a servant. There's so many areas for you to serve. There's kids, there's media, music, first impressions, cafe. This year, we're going to have amazing coffee. Like, give me two more months and we're still working on it. So right now it's okay. I know, I heard. We're going to make it great. We're buying big machines so we can have great coffee for you guys. All right. If you want to be a part of cafe ministry, we would love for you to join that. Talk to Christina. All right. So pray. What can you do? Pray. Invite. Be generous. And serve. Amen. Imagine a church that cares where people spend eternity. Imagine a church that brings thousands of people closer to Jesus. Imagine a church that cares for their brothers and sisters, that cares for their neighbor. Imagine a church where you can have genuine relationships with imperfect people. Imagine a church where your children and grandchildren love to attend. Imagine a church where your children get involved and become on fire for God. Imagine a church that actually loves people. Imagine a church where people are growing spiritually on a weekly basis. Imagine a church where altar is always filled with people raising their hands, coming to Jesus. Imagine a church where hundreds of people are getting baptized every year, making a commitment to Christ. Imagine a church where people are so generous, we have to send people out. Imagine a church that grows to 1,500. A family that becomes big enough to house 1,500 people. Imagine that kind of a church. Imagine a church that you were a part of, that when you stand before Jesus, He said, I saw your work there. Good and faithful servant. I saw all the people you brought to Jesus. I saw your prayers. I've seen your generosity. Good. The greatest thing you can get in heaven is a comment from God. Good and faithful servant. That's all we want. NFL players, they want the ring. We don't get the ring. You know what we get? A crown. That's why we do what we do. It's not for money. It's not for fame. It's. We need Him. I need Him. Without Him, I don't know what I would do. And people who are far from God need Him, just like I need Him. And so, church, let's be a church on a mission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really see a day coming. There will be people standing in, outside of the church, waiting to get in because we won't be able to get in. I see it. I've been saying that. And now you think I'm crazy. And that's okay, because I remember we had one service about this much full, and we said we're going to open second service, and people are like, what? There's still place, there's still room. And now we have two services like that. God never failed me, and He never will. He's never failed you, and He never will. So trust Him. Trust Him. Relax and trust Him. Things might look bad right now, but relax and trust Him. He's going to finish what He started.